Well, God bless you, and welcome to Thanksgiving week. So we have a lot to be thankful for, and this is called Being Thankful in 2014. And moving on. It's not one day or just this year. Next year we don't have to be thankful. No, that's not what we're talking about. So we go to Romans 10:9, because this is the simplest and easiest thing to do to get eternal life. Only God could come up with something like this. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and it's a lot to be thankful for that God made it this easy. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we read, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, that's, you want salvation? Here is what you need to do. It's conditional, if it's conditional, and it's that simple. It's that easy. You get it. And still in this nation, even though we have many paganisms like Christmas, Christ still does come up, and he's still talked about. And I don't know, a lot of people who go to different churches and stuff accidentally get born again because of the concept of having a Lord. I mean, Charlie, do you have parents that you listen to and obey? They're your lords, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they kind of, they in turn make sure then that you have to work 60 hours a week, and you got to fix the car, and you've got, no. Food, right? Food is taken care of, shelter is taken care of, all those type of things. So having a lord, having a parent, having somebody taking, you know, that's an easy concept in our society to understand. And then also believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. That today, you know, I mean, the way movies are and basically video games, you die in a video game, you're raised from the dead the next time you play it. So it's a concept that people are real familiar with. Oh, man, I ran out of lives. Well, that's okay. I'll turn the game on and start over. Mm-hmm. So these are concepts that are actually very simple in our society. And then, but specifically who? Jesus. Not parents. Jesus as Lord. And God raised him specifically, not your video game character from the dead. But the concept is there. We understand it. And it's simple. And it says then because of that, we will be saved. We will be saved. And the question really should be, saved from what? Well, look at chapter 5. Romans 5, 9 in our Bibles. We read in Romans 5, 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through the Christ's accomplished works, we are saved from God, from the wrath of God. I think we understand wrath. That's something, but God's wrath, his potential, in other words, what he can allow to have happen to the entire world, when you read some of the things in the book, we are saved from all of that that's going to happen. That's good. That's something to be very thankful for. You have a handout there. It's got the working translation of the section of the Bible, Romans 5, 8 through 11. Let's take a look at how it's translated so we can see the context of where this verse is. So Romans 5, 8, we read, however, God shows his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died in our behalf. Now, is that something to be thankful for? Yeah. While we were sinners, while we didn't deserve it, God, because of God's love, Christ died in our behalf. Much more than being justified now by his blood, we shall be saved or delivered from the wrath of God through him. So if we were reconciled to God by the death of his son when we were enemies, then much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved or delivered from wrath by his life. Not only is that so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have presently received the reconciliation. We can boast in God. If you have certain abilities, Isaac once hit 100 out of 100 free throws in a row, and so he could boast in the fact that he's a good free throw shooter. Hasn't, but if he has, he could boast in the fact that he did it. You know, we can boast in God because he sent, because of his love, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and reconciled us. It's worth boasting about. So, you know what that means? You have to open your mouth if you're going to boast. You tell people about how great God is and what's been accomplished through his son, Jesus Christ. To do that, we just don't tell anybody. We don't want them to know we're Christians. No, a contrario. No, we boast in our God, you know? We can talk about him. Our God saved us from the wrath to come. What has your God done? You know? And that's a big deal because people have all kinds of gods. But our God saved us from wrath. Our God reconciled us because he sent his son. Our God's a God of love. Look at verse 15 here in Romans 5. It's in your on your handout. However, the free gift of grace. I just pause every time I read that. We were dead. He sent his son. We were sinners. Now we have been given a get out of wrath card free card, right? A free gift of grace. I have a gift of grace. Charlie, did your parents give you like 10 of those that you can use periodically when you make a mistake? Get grace card, grace card. Probably not. Lizzie could use 20. Anyway. No, all of us in life could use many of them. Praise God. Praise God.
Not alone.
That's the point.
Make sure you're with us.
We're just
going to
come borrow from you
because you can still have. That's right. You have a lot left. We're running out of ours. But isn't that great? We don't run out of, you know, loose spirit cards or something. It's a free gift of grace. Free gift of grace. However, the free gift of grace is not like the trespass. For example, if many died by the trespass of one, Adam, much more than the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And you can put your name in there. The gift of grace has abounded to you because Jesus Christ paid the price, and you insert your name. Likewise, the gift is not as the trespass by the one who sinned, for the judgment was of one, Adam, on the condemnation, but the free gift of grace is from many trespasses into a standard for justice. We've received amnesty. So, if by the trespass of the one, the death reigned through the one Adam, much more than they who receive the abundance of the grace and of the gift of the justice will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You now can reign in this life through what Jesus Christ accomplished. You're safe from the wrath to come. Enjoy. Be thankful. It's free. And free is always a good price. You go to the store and they have a big display. Free. Just take it. What do you do? Excuse me, is that really free? Can I really just pick this up and take it? And then when we realize, yes, it's free because you're a loyal customer, then we take it. And then we send our children in to get more. Everybody shows up with a free gift. Well, that's what we have available for us today. So we boast in God who saved us from the wrath and gave us a free gift only of eternal life. That's all. All right, Romans 6, it's on your handout here. Romans 6, 22, we read, however, now having been made free from the sin and having been made servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end is eternal life. As we sang, this world is not our home. We're not part of this world. We now have fruit unto being sanctified, and the end is just eternal life. Truly then, the wages of sin is death. We open up an envelope at the end of our life and says, your wages for your life is death. That's what we all earned. We all earned death. And then you flip it around to the other side. It says, but the free gift of grace is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what you get. You earn death, but because of God's goodness, through Christ's accomplishments, flip the card over, eternal life. Free gift of grace, eternal life, and enjoy for all eternity. That's being something to be thankful about. That's something to boast in our God about. It's not by works. That's tremendous. Isn't that tremendous? Mm-hmm. All right, good. I thought it was really tremendous. The free gift of grace is eternal life. So, what should we do because we have this free gift of God? Don't tell anybody. We don't want anybody else to go to heaven with us. No, as we're going to see, you only got one life here. All right, so look at Romans 6, verse 1 again. The working translation says, what shall we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it not be. How shall we who died to the sin still live in it? Duh. That's one of those duh questions. You know, look, we've been saved we have these great things, free gift of grace. Should we just continue to live our life any way we want? No. On the other hand, are you ignorant of the fact that whoever of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Thus we were buried with him. Our old man was buried with him by the baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So, because we died with his death, our old nature, we were raised with the new nature. Why don't we walk in the newness of life rather than the oldness of the sin? The oldness of the ways that are just not a glory to our Father. Verse 11 says, so you too consider yourself first of all dead to the sin. Whatever the sin was, whatever the shortcoming, whatever controlled our life, no longer does. And secondly, consider yourself being alive to God in Christ Jesus. Not alive to yourself to do whatever you want, but alive to God through the accomplishments of Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let the sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its cravings. Likewise, do not present your bodily members as instruments of injustice to the sin, but rather present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your bodily members as instruments of justice of God. We are in God's family. It's time to live like we're in God's family because this world's not our home. This world doesn't control us. The old man nature and its cravings don't control us. We're better than that because we got the free gift, save from wrath card. Yeah. All right, so what do we do? Romans 12:1. Therefore, brothers, I exhort you by the compassion of God to present your bodies. You know, you show up first day of practice. Everybody shows up. Present your body as a living sacrifice. You're alive. Live for him. Holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical divine service as sons of God. So we should live for him. It's our logically divine service. So, what's the first thing that is said? We should live for him so we don't be fashioned by this age. We don't put on and wear the clothes of this age, so to speak. Instead, we're transfigured by the renewing of our minds so that we prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. You know, you don't be molded according to what the world thinks, how you should perform to the world and do the world standards. We can live according to God's mature will. We no longer are spiritual babies. We can grow up. We can be mature because we understand the book. We go to the book and we can understand things there. In fact, we go to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, it's on the back of that page. The next on the back of that page says 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. But thanks be unto God. Why should we be thankful to God? Well, we just read a whole lot of reasons. Why? Because he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our biggest obstacle is death, and because he already raised the Lord Jesus Christ from dead, he can raise us too. Therefore, my beloved brothers, become steadfast. It takes a little bit of time and effort to be steadfast. You become steadfast. You become immovable. Nobody can talk you out of the goodness of God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's the key. That's what we want to do. We want to do the work of the Lord. And not only do it, we want to abound in the work of the Lord. Well, boasting in God and telling others about Christ's accomplishments. All part of abounding in the work of the Lord. What we read in Romans 12. Knowing that as we abound in the Lord, that your hard labor in the Lord is not vain. We do good works because we are born again. We have the opportunity to do the work of the Lord because we belong to the family of God. It's hard labor in the Lord, but it's not in vain. You will be rewarded. It is worth it. It's a good thing not to conform then to the world and what the world's doing. You don't have to put up with the peer pressure of the world. So we need to be thankful to God because we have the victory. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We wake up in the morning and we rush downstairs. Or if we don't have downstairs, we just, you know, crawl out of our room and go down where the tree is. And there it is, an indescribable gift. Just eternal life, the gift of Holy Spirit. It's an indescribable gift. Can you explain to me all the ins and outs of the Spirit and everything about it? Could you show me your Spirit? No. It's an indescribable gift, but thanks be to God, we got it. And you could also add that we can't lose it. Having done David again, that last weekend? Wow. Last week, and having done David again, David pleaded with God, please don't take this spirit from me. We can't lose it. It's an indescribable gift. So with that, we look at verse 2. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God. It's a great time to, you know, at least once a year, as Tom prayed, that we have the ability to stop and be thankful for what we have been given. From the little things of eternal life, that's all, you know, to being victorious through Christ. Now, why should we be thankful to God here in this verse? Because he always leads us in triumph in Christ. And I like the way that's put, the way it's translated a little bit differently than King James. But now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. It's not automatic. God will lead us because of Christ's accomplishments. He leads us in triumph. What's the resurrection? What's the best idea? What's the best place to go? What do we need to do? And then he makes us smell very nicely and makes the fragrance of his knowledge manifest in us in every place. Because to God we are a sweet aroma of Christ among those who are saved and among those who are perishing. We just smell good to those who are born again, and we don't smell too good for those who don't like God. To the one, we are a fragrance of death unto death, and to the other, a fragrance of life unto life. Who is competent for these things? Certainly, we are not as many hucksters who adulterate the word of God. But what do we do as part of the family of God? We speak in Christ from genuineness, even from God in the sight of God. We do it out of genuineness. We talk about Christ because he genuinely changed our life. He genuinely is continuing to be the Lord of our life, to have input. And because of that, we are not a huckster. You know, we're not a pull shark. You know, used car salesman or something. But anyway, we don't water down the Word of God. We speak it in all of its genuineness to anybody at all opportunities. 2 Corinthians 4:5 here then says, certainly we do not herald ourselves, but instead we herald Christ Jesus as Lord. We don't go out and preach our denomination. We don't go out and preach this person is great, this person isn't, or whatever. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. Why? Because that's part of the beginning. That's how people get born again of God's Spirit, how they get saved. We don't herald ourselves, but we herald Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your servants for the sake of Jesus, because God, who said, light will shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts with the radiance of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. However, we have this treasure. We have this indescribable gift. We have this treasure in these earthen or clay vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. As we have gotten older, we've realized these earthen vessels don't work quite as well, and science hasn't gotten us a new one, and never will. You know, even though they're talking about robots that we can clone and have four or five, I guess, of us around and things now. It's not going to happen. But so, we herald science. We herald the wisdom of this world. Not at all. That's only about half the teaching. Let's go to Luke 2. So, what do? We're thankful. There's an awful lot to be thankful for. And we preach Christ, not ourselves. There's an annual festival called Christmas in this country that's celebrated. And in that festival, people recount certain segments of the Bible dealing with the birth of Christ. In Luke 2, verse 6, I just want to point out here that we're encouraged to preach Christ, to herald him and his accomplishments, but God was so thrilled when he had his son, when he was born, he wanted people to know about it. So he sent his angels to tell some shepherds about it. Well, if you had a child, you know, what do? You talk about it. Luke 2, 6. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. You don't normally get visited by an angel when you're out being a shepherd in the middle of the night. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel spoke what God wanted him to speak, and God's heart was good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. A special event happened. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels, high-fived everybody and then went away. Back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Okay, the Lord has made known a lot of great and wonderful things unto us. So we should boast about them and be like the shepherds. Live for him. Check it out. Do something. So they came with haste, and they found Mary, they found Joseph, and they found the babe lying in the manger, just like the angel said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The other night we were out in the field. You never got to believe this, but I put this on my Facebook page, and I got a lot of comments about this, but we were in the field, and we were tending the field, and all of a sudden this angel appeared and said there's this babe who was born, and then a whole bunch of them were there, and they were talking about the glory of God, it was glad tidings, so we went and checked it out, and guess what? Exactly, word for word, as the angel said, what happened. And you got to hear about this. This is incredible. Because this is the Savior. This is who they've been talking about since Genesis 3. Sure. And what else were you guys smoking out there? In the... No, it was real. They made it known. God had a son. God made it known. We should also then continue to make it known. Let's finish this record. Let's start 17 again. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Have we heard and seen many great promises of God in this book? Shouldn't we tell others about it as part of doing the works of God, letting people know that Christ really did come? He really did die on our behalf. We've been saved from the wrath to come. Look at Mark 16. Go back about three pages in your Bible. Mark 16. That was Jesus' entrance into the world. God made it known that his son was there. The Savior was on earth. Go check him out. Go tell others about him. Now, he's getting ready to depart. He has completed his work. He's been raised from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. He's here. And just before his final ascension, verse 15, here's what he tells people in Mark 16:15: Go ye into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel to every creature. You just go out and preach. You talk to people. And he then that will listen and believe what you have to say and is baptized in the Spirit shall be saved. But he that doesn't believe is damned already because of the sin of Adam. And these are going to be signs that will follow you if you're going to believe and go out and teach in my name. You're going to be able to cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. If by chance you pick up a serpent, or if somebody decides to have you drink some deadly thing, it's not going to hurt you. You're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. Those are some of the spiritual signs proving that what you're doing and saying is accurate to you and others. So what did they do in verse 19? So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We have to pick up one verse here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2. In 2 Timothy 4:2, we read a very exciting verse. Preach the word. Well, Jesus instructed his followers to preach to herald it forth, let everybody know, and this is the exhortation to continue to do the same thing. We know the word. We preach the word. We're thankful for understanding the word. We're instant. We're ready to go in season, or when it's convenient or out of season, when it's not convenient. When it's convenient, you preach the word. When it's not convenient, you preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So what should we do? Let me think. We're going to do the will of the Lord, and it says, preach. Tell people about it. Does anybody work around people? Do you ever see people? They're around all the time. So if we have an opportunity, what should we be exhorted to do? Shh, I got a secret. This guy was born in September, not December, and he saved us because of his accomplishments. So we have an opportunity. We don't necessarily need to beat anybody over the head of it, but look at 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4, we read God's heart of the matter. God wants all men and women and babies to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So then should we talk to everybody? Yeah. That's what that's inspiring us to do. Preach the word to everybody. So everybody has the opportunity to say, you're full of it, or would you like to be full of Holy Spirit? Something better. All right? Now, in your handout there, you have Ezekiel. It's the last thing on the handout. Ezekiel 18. This is from the NIV version. It's reinforcing what we just read in Timothy. Because people, you know, are always telling other people, I'll just go to hell. Well, God doesn't want anybody to go there. And here, Ezekiel 18:23, the New International Version says, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? We're talking about the unbelievers, the wicked. God is saying, do I take pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declares the sovereign Lord. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? That's why God sent Jonah, and Nineveh changed. Even though Jonah didn't want to do it, but that was what he needed to do. Verse 31 says, rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. It's pretty plain. God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. The evil, the wicked, he doesn't. He wants all to be saved. So how are the wicked going to know? We don't. Who know the word? Say something about it. Go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:27. Just a great reminder, in case you're into Hinduism. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. So, if you're only going to die once, you can't get reincarnated as something else. You only get one chance, and that's it. We only get one chance at this. So, if that person who you care about and like, if you don't teach them about Christ, or at least give them the opportunity to believe, their one time may come and go. That's not good. Look at we're at Hebrews 11:13. Next page, just the first part of it. This is a roll call of wonderful believers who got A pluses on the report cards. They all got a good report. Then in 13 it says, these all died in faith. They all died. They're dead. They're waiting for the resurrection. Abraham is mentioned in here. Enoch, Moses. The whole chapter is loaded with great and wonderful people, but you know what? They all died. They did what they were supposed to do while they were alive. They did it to the best of their ability. They were not perfect, but they talked about Christ. Look at chapter 10, verse 24. 10:24 now. But they all died. Their time on earth came and went. 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Jack, I'm going to provoke you to love today. We're to provoke one another to love and to do good works. Lizzie, you know that person you're talking to in class? Tell them about Christ. That's the good work. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I kind of think that, you know, the Lord tarries, the day approaching is when we take our last breath. You know, it is, every day is one day closer. So we live for him all the time. Now, Ecclesiastes 9, in case you have forgotten, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 9, then we have a book we all read all the time, the Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes 9, we pick it up in verse 5. Just in case you thought death was a good thing, Ecclesiastes 9:5, we read, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that's done under the sun." So, in light of the fact we're all going to die, and all these great people at one time who lived on the earth and did wonderful things for God all died, then what should we do? Verse 7, "Go thy way, eat thy donuts with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts thy works." We can build rewards now for the work we do. Works don't get us into heaven. Christ's accomplishments get us there, but works do get us rewards for all eternity. So, have a merry heart. Be joyful. Accept one another. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. Like the NIV says, of this meaningless life. Live joyfully with the wife which thou lovest all the days of this meaningless life, which she has given you under the sun, all the days of thy meaningless life of this vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. We're going to have to work. We're going to have to labor. It's labor playing video games, you know. It just takes time and effort and skill and thought and things like that to it all. It just doesn't come automatically. You just don't get to the 90th level. You know, you got to. All right. So now, live joyfully. Merry heart. You know, lack no ointment. Wear white. Enjoy the day. It's laborious to live today. So, verse 10 is the encouragement because we only got one shot. And everybody so far has been on earth who's gotten old and died. They've died. And if the Lord tarries, it's going to happen. Verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it then with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going to end up if the Lord tarries." It's just a wonderful reminder. You know, we all know people. They got older. Look at Psalm 95. On our way back to one more verse, Psalm 95. They, as life happens, death happens. It's part of living. It's part of the circle of life. You need Zimba here or something. All right. But Psalm 95, it's just a reminder. Enjoy the day. New mercies every morning. Give your all for God. Boast about your God. Be thankful for what he's allowed us to be a part of. You only get one time at it, and it's moving quickly. Psalm 95, verse 1. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Just once a year in November. No, all the time. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods." Of all the gods out there, the one God, the true God, is a great God. "In his hand are the deep, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also." The sea, it's his, and he made it. "And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God." He is our Father today. He has given us great things to be thankful for. And we close in 1 Thessalonians 5. You only got one shot at it. Enjoy it. Life keeps moving, moving quickly. Before you know it, you're going to be in high school. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to close with. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And do we have a lot to be thankful for? Yes. We have a great God. We have a great Father. We have a great Word in which that reveals all of this to us. So be thankful today, tomorrow, the next day, and boast in our God, and let others know about what Jesus Christ accomplished. So we'll close.